Welcome to Fresh Fire's weekly podcast.
You know, 2020, I feel like there's so much been spoken about already for 2020. And it feels like the atmosphere is just charged for 2020. And as I've been processing it, I'm like, Lord, I feel like I've got like a dust amount of revelation compared to the weight that I feel is coming for 2020. And so this is kind of just a part of it. And Steve will bring a part of it. But together, hopefully, we'll have some kind of picture of what God's doing. And I'm excited. It's going to be good. So one verse, I just want to sum up 2019 with one verse. You know, we all know that it's been an interesting forging year, let's call it. And many of us in this ways, it's been tough, but it's forged us. And I just want to read this verse. James 1, verse 2 to 3. And some of you might cringe at this, okay? Consider it pure joy. My brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kind, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. And some of you might look at 2019 and be like, you want me to consider that pure joy? But I feel like we've got to see Jesus, even in 2019, even in all of that. Let's consider it pure joy, because it has tested us. But it has forged us with a perseverance for 2020. And I believe that what God did, even in the trials of 2019, has built strength in us to sustain that which is going to pour out in 2020. And so that gives us hope. You know, it wasn't for nothing. It wasn't just a crazy year, but God has forged us. And, you know, I released a word at the start of last year, you know, abandonment, which brings alignment, which that positions us for acceleration. And I feel like to the degree that we abandoned and we aligned, this is the year we will see the acceleration. And you know, there's been acceleration to a degree here, but I feel like it's not the same weight as what I felt at the start of last year. And so we're about to see that acceleration as we're positioned, as we've been faithful, as we've aligned, as we've laid things down, as we've sacrificed and been through the trial. We're about to see such acceleration in every area of our lives, in healing, in wholeness, in ministry, in finances, in business. There is just this acceleration that is coming. So we're here in 2020 now. What is the Lord saying? You know, it was funny when I was chewing 2020 over these last few months, and as I was just pulling all the pieces together this week, I felt like Holy Spirit was just chuckling, and he goes, "Okay, Abby, what you think you've seen, double it." And I was like, "Whew, okay, I'll double it." And he goes, "And you still won't even be close." And so this year, you know, I'm just excited. It's gonna be good. So 2020, there's been so much about sight, you know, and I think the obvious word is a year of vision, of 2020 vision. And, you know, God is speaking through that. But I feel like, and I touched on this before Christmas, so I'll just briefly touch on it now. The whole thing of, it's the Jewish New Year of the mouth, and it's the, I don't know, Roman New Year of the sight. But I feel like God has strategically placed those two things, the sight and the mouth, so that there's not a separation of those who see, and there's not a kind of camp of those who might speak boldly the word of the Lord. But I feel like there's a coming together of those who are seeing, those who are hearing, and therefore declaring, that we might see a fuller picture of what God is doing. And I spoke, you know, before Christmas about the whole thing of seeing, hearing, seeing, speaking, and creating. And so I feel like we're going to see that just massively. And you know, I just had this sense of the things that we feared in 2019, his perfect love is going to come and surround us to such a degree that that won't even be a thing anymore. I feel like there's just such a weight of his love and coming back to the very foundations of love. And his love being the foundations, you know, love is the the first commandment, isn't it? And I feel like there's this restoration of the love of God in the foundations of who we are. And I just kind of saw the strength of the love of God that brought us through 2019 will be the same love that sustains us in the acceleration of 2020. And so the stuff that you feared and stressed about, that is not coming into 2020. That is done. You know, this morning, it is finished. So let's leave behind the fears and the junk and even the mindsets that came in with 2020, and let's stand in the confidence of the strength of his love that, you know what, we made it through 2020. 2019. Oh dear, I'm more at the end of 2020. No, I'm joking. Oh dear. But anyway, I feel like we're going to do that loads. Last Sunday when we was in worship, I could just, as we were just entering in and just enthroned in him, I mean, that was such a powerful time of worship. For me, that felt like when we crossed over into 2020. That was just powerful. But I began to see the ancient gates of this nation. And as we just began to enthrone him as king, you know, we were singing, I think it was "Be Enthroned Upon the Praises of 1,000 Generations." And it felt like we was joining with the song of the saints that have been sown in this land. And I feel like we're about to see those gates open up. And I could see the King of Glory stood in just such glory over this nation. And it was like he was waiting to come in with his glory and to come in with his presence. And it's like there's been years of people waiting for a move of God in this nation, and there's been prayers and there's been praise and there's been so much sown through the generations. And I felt like the Lord came, and it was like it was time for the ancient gates to be open. And we've said it so many times, and I love the song that says, "Lift up your heads, O ye gates, be lifted up, you everlasting doors, that the King of Glory would come in. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord strong and mighty in battle." And I just had this sense that the Lord was coming as a warrior to this nation, that the Lord was coming as the King of Glory. And there was this weight of the fear of the Lord as he just stood there. And it was like he was waiting for his people to respond and see that he is ready to come in this nation again. He's ready to rule in this land again. And it felt like we needed to stand. And even as we was worshiping last week, saying, "Be enthroned upon the praises of 1,000 generations," it was like we were saying to him again, "God, you are enthroned in this nation." And there was so much weight as he just stood there in his glory. And it was so just weighty. And I just feel like there is this response to lift our eyes to him as the King of Glory. You know, there's so much going on, and Boris Johnson is now Prime Minister, and there's been so much doom and gloom spoken over our nation. But I just feel like it's time to lift our gaze to the King of Glory. And he's coming with victory, and he's coming with a standard, and he's coming with the fear of the Lord in this nation again, where hearts will turn back to him and he will be known as the one true God. And so we say, King of Glory, even in this place, we welcome you. We say, let these ancient gates be opened, even through fresh fire. Even in this city, God, even in this nation, we turn our hearts to you and we see you as the King of Glory, and we enthrone you and we welcome you here to rule and reign, to be the one who is mighty in battle. We thank you, Lord. And so I feel like we've entered into a decade of these ancient gates being opened. And it's like as the gates opened, it was like the fear of the Lord just swept across our nation again. And I feel like there's going to be so much conviction even in this next decade, where systems and ideas are just going to be turned around because the fear of the Lord becomes so strong. And even the churches that have become, you know, sleepy and compromised, the Lord's going to come and wake them up. And I feel like he's just revealing himself in all his glory to say, get your eyes off what's going on and get your eyes on me. You know, he's the answer. And I feel like this year is the main thing, I guess, I feel is this is a year of fulfillment and exponential growth. And I was like, Lord, I don't even know what exponential means. Like, okay, I'm guessing it means really rapid growth or something. So I Googled it and it was about, you know, rapid growth. Sometimes we've got to Google to help us understand what the Lord's saying. I do anyway. But I'm going to unpack that more a little bit later. Genesis 31, verse 38 to 41. It talks about Jacob waiting 20 years to get possession of his property and wives, and be freed from the control of Laban, his father-in-law. And I was like, Lord, why are you showing me this scripture? You know, it just, it's talking about him waiting, and then he suddenly takes possession. And, you know, I don't really tend to prophesy much about relationships and you know, dipping into that realm. Me and God kind of have an agreement. I don't mess around in people's relationships saying, this is what the Lord is saying, or you shouldn't go out with, so, you know, I'm not into that. But the Lord kept pressing this thing about spouse. And I was like, okay, this is interesting. But, you know, me and you, God, we kind of have an agreement. I'm not going to mess around in people's relationships. But then it was just pressing even more. And I was like, right, okay. And then Naomi came up to me a couple of days ago and she goes, have you seen this verse in Genesis where it talks about Jacob waiting 20 years to take possession of his property? Well, and I'm like, oh my goodness, okay, Lord, I'm going to do it. So here we are doing it. But 20 actually means completeness. And I feel like there's been, and I know I'm not saying this because there's a lot of single people in my heart. I'm not just doing this to feed people's desperation. I'm not here to do that. But what I'm here to do is say, for those who have been waiting, I feel like there is spouse being positioned for you in 2020. We got some people claiming that one at the back. But here, there's a reason for it. God's positioning spouse, and he's positioning property, but there's also a positioning of just partnership. And it doesn't necessarily mean relationship, marriage, and all. You know, there's a partnership. And I feel like God is piecing people together so that he can bring multiplication and fruitfulness. And I don't just mean physical multiplication and fruitfulness. I feel like there is, you know, even buildings that things need to be birthed within, that because we don't have them, there's not the space to birth it. And I feel like there's even spouses where people in this room, there's destiny that is waiting to be birthed that will come when there is a covenant made between two people. And I feel like there's a fresh release of the multiplication of his kingdom and his fruitfulness. And so in 2020, God's going to begin to align people in the spirit who are spouses. He's going to align buildings in the spirit, and he's going to align significant partners of destiny where, you know, just like, where is it, Mary and Elizabeth, when their wombs come together and there's a leaping in the spirit, and they didn't know why. But we know why, because one was carrying John the Baptist that would prepare the way for Jesus. And I feel like there's going to be moments of people coming together where there's partnership of destiny that is an alignment so that God can bring the fulfillment of promise in the land. And so some of you is spouses, some of you is, you know, ministry partnerships, some of you is business partnerships, some of you is a new home or a new, you know, we need a new building. And I feel like there's the coming together, and there's been this waiting for what seems like years. You know, Jacob waited 20 years and just to get freed from even his father-in-law. And I feel like there's a freeing, and I'm not saying from people's father-in-laws. I'm not saying that, but I feel like there's some relational freedom that is going to happen where there might even be a separation of some relationships, and I'm not talking about bringing division of families, but it's sometimes there's relationships that are toxic. And I feel like the Lord is going to bring a separation so that you can be freed into acceleration and fulfillment. The next thing, I feel like, you know, we've heard this so many times, a year of joyful advancement. Oh my goodness, I'm ready for some joy. And when I was just looking at 2020, I was like, oh, it's so bright and it's so joyful and it's so glorious. You know, 2019 seems so dark. And the thing is about the dark is your eyes begin to adjust to it. And I feel like God wants to awaken our eyes again to see his glorious light, to see the light of his presence, to see the joy of his presence in 2020, that it will be a joy that we will see him. And it's not that there's not going to be trials, of course there is, but we're going to see his joy within it all. Romans 14 verse 7 says, "For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit." And I feel like God wants to reset our hearts for our desire to be righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And even if that's all we went after in 2020, my goodness, our lives will be changed. And I feel like it's God's kind of saying, you know what, guys, this is not about whether your basic needs are being met. You know, it's easy to be like, oh, what am I going to eat today? And what am I going to drink today? And am I going to be able to pay the bills? And da, da, da. I feel like there needs to be that shift of, I'm going after righteousness, peace, and joy. And everywhere in my life, I'm going to see righteousness, peace, joy established in my family, in my finances, in my ministry, in my workplace. If you don't see righteousness, peace, and joy, I encourage you in 2020, just begin to declare it. Today is a day of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit, because that's where the kingdom of God is. Isaiah 35 verse 10, "And those the Lord has rescued will return. They will enter Zion," or 2020, let's have that. "They will enter 2020 with singing, and everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away." Let him crown us with joy this morning. The sadness and sighing and all the sorrow, it has to just flee in his joy. And, you know, I feel like people say in the room, I'd be like, oh, but it's just not that simple. But it is. it is. You know, we position ourselves and it gives us joy, and he exchanges these things in his presence. And I feel like we will truly know what it is this year when it says that verse, "The joy of the Lord is your strength." And I feel like as we go through 2020 and there's the promotion and there's the, you know, fresh fire being seen and fresh fire music accelerating and us reaching more people and going to more nations, I feel like what will sustain us is his joy. It will be our strength. And I feel like God wants to wire joy so within us that in every single moment, we can even just warfare with joy. You know, it was like, I felt like God was kind of resetting our mindsets for instead of warfare being like, you know, I mean, there's a time to shout and there's a time to go wild. Don't get me wrong, I'm a warfare person, I love it. But I feel like joy will be our weapon of war. And it's as though I could see it like, you know, people criticizing us, and we're able to just sit there in heavenly places and laugh, like actually laugh and go, well, isn't that cute? Because I know who my God is. You know, like, that's really cute that they think this about me. Oh, but I'm just sat here listening to who God is, and I can just laugh. And I feel like there's this rest and there's this positioning that God wants to bring us to where we're seated and we truly know what it is for the enemy to be our footstool. And we can plonk our feet on him. And just watch the Lord do his thing. I tell you, there was times last year where I had to just sit and go, God, everything just feels pretty crazy, so I need to just sit and watch you do your thing. Because nothing I can do can change this. Nothing I can do can stop this. But I know that everything I need is in you. And there was times where I would just sit and watch the Lord do his thing. And I could just laugh. You know, I want to know what it is. Every time Jezebel tries to have a pop, laugh. Because I know it's fate. You know, you see in the story of Elijah, sorry, I shouldn't think, where she gets thrown down. She gets thrown out in the story. Thrown down and eaten by the dogs. And I want to laugh at that every day of my life. I do, because there's victory, and it doesn't have to be that these problems and these enemies are so over us all the time when we know that we have the victory and we know who God is. And so let us know what it is to just laugh. And I'm not saying we are unaware of our opponent. You know, we're not doing this in a way of, ha, 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 he's just like a stupid little cat. No, like we know the enemy's powers, but we're able to laugh in the face of trial. And I feel like that is going to wreak havoc in the kingdom of darkness, because the enemy won't know what to do. That he's bringing stuff and the people of God are just joyful. And they're like, woo, consider it pure joy, this trial I'm in right now. And actually experience it and not just say it. You know, we throw that verse around a lot. But you know what? I can actually say of 2019, it was a joy to do it, because it forged me. And it's a joy to be forged in his presence. And even though it's painful and even though it's crazy and we question God, it is joy because he's positioning us for a bigger thing. And that's why it's a joy in the trial, because he's working on the inside of us. And even if you don't see it at the time, you'll see it, and it's just beautiful. Oh, thank you, Lord. The next thing, what time is it? 20 past. Okay, we're getting there. We'll get there. We'll get there. Tell me if I really actually need to stop. Huh?
Carry on.
Yes. Okay. And Steve, don't forget, come and dip in at any point if you feel anything. Okay. 2020. I feel like God was saying it was about the year of tender yet wild hearts. And I feel like there's a sensitivity coming to the presence of God like never before. And you know, I think it's easy to throw those things like, oh, like never before. But I feel like there is this real tenderness that God wants to put on the inside of our hearts. And I think part of that is to know his tender loving kindness. You know, we've been singing about the goodness of God, but I feel like it's not wired in our hearts all the time. And yet he's kind all of the time. And I heard this phrase this week, and it just wrecked me. And it said something like, what did it say? God is good all the way around. And I was like, what does that even mean? And they began to unpack it, and it's like, there is not even a side of God that isn't good. Even in his discipline, even in, you know, all the stuff that he's forging, there's not a part of him on any side in any way that isn't good. And I feel like we'll know what it is to see the goodness of God in everything. And our hearts will be so tender to his kindness and his goodness. And there's this word I love, and it's, I think it's a Hebrew word called hesed. And it's God's covenant loyalty to his people in kindness and in mercy. And I feel like we'll feel that weight of his covenant loyalty to us. That he's not a God who lies. He's not a God that forgets his promises. But we'll know what it is to know a kind God and to know his covenant loyalty to his people. You know, from the garden until now, he's covenantly loyal. And I feel like he wants to just really put that within us. And I feel like there's a tenderness and a wildness in the unfamiliar of his presence. You know, where your heart is so tender, God does something and it might just be wild. And you have to do something wild in response. And I feel like God wants to just put that in our hearts. I don't know how to describe tender in any other way, but I feel like even when he breathes, that we would know it. Even if he moves his eyes or changes his posture even slightly, our hearts would know it and respond. I feel like that's the degree of tenderness and wild response that he's looking for in his people. That when he even smiles, our hearts are moved and stirred by it. And he's looking for hearts who are yielded to him. And I feel like there's a fresh yielding to his presence, to his ways, to his heart, to his kindness, to his love, to the fear of the Lord. I feel like he's looking for hearts who are yielded in a deep way. The next thing, I'm coming into land soon. 2020, and it's funny that Adam started praying about rain before, because I just feel like it's a year of abundant rain. Just so much rain. When I was looking at it, there's just so much rain of abundance. And even in worship, I was thinking, God is, it's just not in his nature to not give in abundance. You know, he's not a God that withholds from us. He's a generous God. And I feel like, you can't run between the raindrops. You can't avoid it. He's coming with his rain, and he's coming with his presence. And I feel like there's rains of refreshing coming to areas of drought and dryness. And rain comes, and it brings life and produces harvest. And I just had this sense of there's a fresh harvest that the Lord wants to release and fresh seeds that he wants to give. And where we sow these seeds, I mean, will the future generations be thankful for what we've sown in 2020? I mean, truly, God is entrusting us with seeds. And if we don't know what we carry, we won't know where to plant them. And when his rain comes, they might just be growing on the ground. And someone's life could have been changed because of that. You know, in 10 years, will we look back on what we've sown in 2020 and be like, I sowed that in the right place. And look at all this harvest of abundance, you know? Ask the Lord, what seeds am I carrying for 2020 that need planting in soil? Because he's coming with his rain, and it's going to grow wherever you plant it. And I feel like it's sowing into generations. I just have this strong sense, even in this new decade, that there is this generational thing of coming together, where it'll be the kids, and it will be the teenagers, and it will be the adults, and it will be the elderly joined together as one, sowing together as one, harvesting together as one, and there'll be wisdom passed, and there'll be lessons passed, and there'll be, you know, exchanges. I feel like God is bringing an exchange through all of the generations. And within that, you know, Joel 25 says about restoring the years that the locusts have eaten. And I feel like God is ending the fruitlessness of the last decade. And it's not that it wasn't fruitful, but I feel like there was a disunity of the generations. And God is bringing them all back together to bring fruitfulness. And even for people personally here, you know, locusts go after fruit. And I feel like there's been a stealing and a killing and a destroying, even for years in people's lives. Well, enough's enough, because God is a God of restoration. And I feel like there is, even as we're in 2020, he can restore decades, even 20 years. He can bring restoration. He can bring restoration so much so that there's fruitfulness and there's such restoration in families, in relationships, in finances. I feel like there's... he restores fruit and he brings fruitfulness. And so for the children of Fresh Fire, and I think it would be great for us to pray for these guys at the end and just get them blasted. I just had this sense of what I can only describe it as a prophetic wave coming over these children this year. And it's like the eyes were being opened and the ears were opened in a way that we've not seen children respond to his presence before. And I just want to say, parents, you better be ready for what God is about to start doing through your kids. Because if you're not ready, you will quench them. And some of these kids will be my age in 10 years. And I feel like this is a key year for stewarding what God is releasing in your children, that they're going to start to encounter Jesus and angels and the prophetic like never before. And your households need to be ready to steward that, or else you'll quench it. And let's not quench these kids. Let's see these kids released to be absolute fiery kids in the prophetic, in the supernatural. Let's see giant slayers raised up. Let's see, you know, those who are just so sharp. And I feel like God is releasing that in the children, even to wreck some of our theology and wreck our minds. That there's going to be stuff that these kids are coming out with, and it's like, what? This is the child saying this. But I feel like we need to respond and create space for these children. And the final thing, Alan here, and then Steve can come up, and then we'll get the children in and we'll do some ministry. I feel like this is a year of fulfillment and exponential growth. And I saw, I just kind of had this vision of God was going through these files. It was like he was at this desk and he was bringing files out. And I'm like, Lord, what are these files? And he's like, they're promises for people, cities, churches, and nations. And I was like, okay. And he began to open them and stamp. Really, I mean, every time he stamped, I'm like, oh my goodness, what is happening? Put a stamp on them, this red stamp. And I'm like, Lord, what are you stamping on the pages of these books? And he's like, come and have a see. So I had a look, and it just said fulfillment. Fulfillment, 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 fulfillment. And I feel like there's going to be such fulfillment this year, that even promises over this region, even promises for your family, promises for yourself, that this is a year of fulfillment, that God is going to bring about those things. And even, you know, it says, God, in Numbers 23, verse 19, God is not a human that he should lie, not a human being that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? And I feel like I'm here to say, God is not a man that he should lie. God has promised some things over your guys' life. The enemy tried to take the vision from it in 2019. But I just feel like the Lord is restoring our vision to see again. That what he has promised, he shall bring about. You know, he's not messing around. He doesn't just say things for the sake of it. But there is going to be such a fulfillment that is released this year of some of the things that you've even waited years for. And this, with this, is an end to hope deferredness. And again, Adam mentioned this before. There is an end, even today, of hope deferredness. Me and Steve, we're going to end some things today of hope deferredness. Hope deferred makes a heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. Let our lives be trees of life, of fulfillment, of growth, flowing with the presence of God. There's a guy called Damon Thompson. He's one of my favorite preachers. Look him up. He's crazy and wild. He's great. And he said this, hope is the confident anticipation of an outcome that is good. Hopelessness is when you have lost that anticipation that the outcome is going to be good. And I just have this sense of people have kind of lost that anticipation that they once have, that the outcome of God and his promises is good, and that he can't fulfill some certain things because this came in the way, or this was stolen, or there was this relational breakdown, so therefore God can't do it. He's the King of Kings and the Creator of the universe. He can do it. And he can restore to bring fulfillment. Huh. And so there is an ending to delay of hijacking and of hope deferredness. And God wants to charge us with hope today. And even, you know, my middle name is Hope. And I know that that's because I'm called to be a carrier of hope, to bring hope to people. And so even today, I feel like it's prophetic that I'm here today stood at the front with the middle name Hope. And my first name means Father's Joy. And God is releasing joy and hope. And I feel like there is an impartation. Even, you know, he gives us names for a reason. But I feel like there's something prophetic about it. That as me and Steve release, it's in my very name. And it's not about me, it's about God. But he chose that name. And I know that's something I'm supposed to bring. And so we're going to charge you guys with hope. I know Steve got some things to share. So let's invite Steve up.
Thank you. Right. I think we've said enough, don't you? So I'm not going to say much at all, except that I've prepared this prophetic word over the last few weeks, maybe months, and it will be on Facebook later or tomorrow. Some of you are on the timeline, so you can get it there. Or it'll be out in through my database, and some of you may be on there. Now, if you're not on any of those, I've got 20 copies here, so you can have them with pleasure. It will not cost you anything. I nearly said a kiss or a handshake, but there it all is. So I've got then to say, it's 2020 vision is eagle-eyed. That's what it's about. So what I want to do is say to Abby, she's been prophesying James 1, verses 2 to 4 to herself, actually. And I think you're going to be counting it all joy as you go through the blacksmith's forge, because he's wanting to sharpen up you as a two-edged sword. And what does that mean in the blacksmith's forge? Heat, fire, pummeling of hammers, everything. And I'm quite touched by that, because Abby is far beyond her years with regard to the prophetic anointing, and her head will not grow because we will not let it. But what he wants to do is so mature her, verse 4 of James 1, that she will go on in a way that I think will surprise her, let alone us. And she's a gift to the church. And that is so important. So remember, you prophesied to yourself, my darling, and count it joy. Just to say, weeping comes at night, but joy comes with the morning.